Second Peter. Eric did a great job this morning, Sunday school, didn't he? Did a great job. As I said this morning, if you men want to get a chance to teach the Word of God, just let me know. And you've been reading your Bible, praying, asking the Lord to show you. So it's important to, you know, not just to get up here, just like I said, for a position, but just get in your Bible and ask the Lord to give you something. Amen. Now, we covered the 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. I wanted to cover this a little bit again. It says, "For God spared not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved on the judgment." Now, the Bible also tells us that in Revelation, there's angels that's chained in the Euphrates River. They're chained. And I thought, what kind of chain could hold an angel? What kind of chain? And then the Bible says over in Revelation, look at Revelation chapter 20. Look at Revelation 20. Revelation 20. And verse 1, it says, "I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand." I started thinking about that chain. And he laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, which is called the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. The devil gets a chain on him and gets cast in the pit for 1,000 years. Cast him in the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him, and he should deceive the nations no more. And you have to be a pretty powerful being to be able to cast the devil down and grab the devil and throw a chain on him. And that shows me my God is greater than anything in the universe. Our God is greater than anything in the universe. More powerful than a locomotive and leaping tall buildings by a single bound. I mean, he's better than Superman. He is Superman. He is the superhuman man. But he became a man and tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin.
That's right. Amen.
And laid down his life for you and I. That ought to do something for you, man. That ought to do something for you. But we was talking about these angels. Now go back to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Now, I went through this thing one time thorough. I went through this angels, fallen angels and all that stuff. I went through this stuff real thorough one time. And I covered everything, just everything I could cover on the thing. And Mrs. Holmes was going to church here then, and her husband, before he passed away, she told me, she said, she came to me, and after I finished, she said, my husband hadn't slept in a week. She said, it scared him so bad, what you were saying. It scared him so bad he couldn't sleep. He left the lights on and everything else. It scared him so bad. But I went through this stuff real thorough about the fallen angels. Now, if you could see tonight, if you could see in the atmosphere what's over our heads, if God took the scale off your eyes and you could see what's there, it would sober you to live for God and do what's right. I'm serious. It would make you so sober-minded that you would care less what anybody says about you. Amen. You care less about the gossip. You care less about any of that junk. All you would want to do is see people get saved.
Amen.
And do right. That's all you would want to. I mean, if you've seen it, if God took the scales off your eyes and you could see what's going on in the atmosphere, now we think what's going on in Washington, Russia, and China, you know, you think about Russia, they got a supreme leader that he's in control and nobody's going to get him out of that control. You got a supreme leader in China. That guy just got all authority of all the Congress and everything. And he's got, so the way of the kings of the East is getting set up. Gog and Magog getting set up, all that stuff. And all this stuff comes in play. But in Genesis 6, the Bible says this, "And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth that daughters were born on them." Now, it didn't say the sons were born on them. It says the daughters were born on them. "And that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, and that they were fair, and they took them wives of all that they chose." And doesn't tell you what they did. But it says in the next thing, "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, and yet his days shall be 120 years. And there were giants in the land. Next verse, there were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, they bare children to them. So the sons of God took these women and they had children. And it says, and the same became mighty men which were men of old, men of renown. So these things, whatever they are, they're angels, that fallen angels came and messed with women, human flesh. You said, that's crazy. Well, all the movies they're coming out with is always some alien messing with something. That's right. They have Superman messing with Lois Lane. All this stuff. I mean, all this stuff coming around. And all the movies are coming about this, you know, superhuman race that's coming. And the Bible says, God said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. God destroys the earth right after this, Genesis 6, 7, 8, 9, all the way through there. And he destroys the thing because these sons of God came on the daughters of men. And Jesus said, as in the days of Noah and in the days of Lot, and those days shall be the same as to come before the coming of his son. Well, or he comes back. But back in 2 Peter, go back to 2 Peter. I'm not covering all this like I did before. But in 2 Peter, these angels are put in chains. These angels, but you got angels coming down in Revelation 12 fighting against Michael and his angels. These angels that are fighting are not in chains. They get cast down. But these guys, whatever they did, it had to be these were the angels that messed with the women. These have got to be it. And so Doc always taught us when we was in Bible school, he said the number one God in America is money. Number two is it's sex. So that's why everybody has a big battle over fighting that flesh. The flesh is the biggest battle because we don't have to worry about the money. I mean, people go after money, but the biggest battle is the sex thing. And you got young people. That's why I believe this. I believe it's setting up the time. That's why the iPhone, all that stuff come out. It's setting up a time, and there's becoming the boundaries are moving further and further away from holiness and cleanness and all that. And they want the children to lose their innocence in way before high school. They want the children to lose their innocence way before junior high school. They want the children to lose their innocence way in elementary school. They want those children to know all about, and Gavin was telling me today that some of the boys he's playing basketball, I'm talking about little boys, he said, they curse. They curse on the basketball. Where they learn that from? They learn all that stuff. And kids are learning more and more wickedness as they come up, as they're growing. And, you know, I understand the parents trying to protect their kids from being around from all that wickedness and all that stuff. They're going to hear it no matter. They're going to hear it out in the world, but you're trying to protect them from that stuff. You're trying to keep them as innocent as possible. And we got, I know some churches that won't run buses because they don't want to bring any kids from the outside to come in to corrupt their children that's in the church. I can understand that, but then you're not fulfilling the Great Commission that the Lord's given you to go out into in the highways and hedges, compel them to come in. And those little kids, they deserve a chance as well. They deserve a chance. So, but this thing, this sin thing, and you and I, we're fighting this thing. And when the Bible says, when the Bible tells you, go to Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians 6, go to Ephesians 6. When this is no game, man. This is the real deal. Most Christians take this Christian life as a game. It's something that we do when we don't have nothing else to do. And this is real, man. It's a real deal. The Bible tells us this in Ephesians chapter 6. So isn't it funny that in Ephesians 6, the first verse says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. And then it starts talking about what we're fighting against. So you get kids being raised up by parents that are inconsistent in their walk with the Lord. Amen. And it's saying, children, obey your parents in the Lord. And when you get parents that are not consistent, I'm not saying perfect. There's nobody in this room perfect. And being consistent in your walk I'm talking about what you're saying, what you believe. Instead of saying, well, I couldn't help it. I just started, shooting off the F word and saying all kinds of bad words. I couldn't help it. And every time you get mad. That's why the Bible says, be angry, sin not. So you can't get to the place in your Christian walk and think, well, and justify it and say, well, I just can't help it. And, and the kids, they learn that hypocritical attitude. And then what happens is, before long, you won't be able to control them. Because they see the hypocritical attitude in your life. We've got so many Christian parents that are living the hypocritical life. They come to church on Sunday, and Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, they live like hell. And Sunday, they come on and act pious. And but I'm telling you, it doesn't work that way. It won't work for your kids. You got to be consistent. And I'm not saying perfect, but consistent. Reading your Bible, praying, and listen to the right kind of music. Amen. Listen to Chaz and Rachel's little girls came up and said, we love to sing that song. They were just telling me. I said, y'all want to sing? They said, we love to sing that song. What's the name of it? God's Not Dead. God's Not Dead. I said, no, he ain't. He's alive. Children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. God, and you got children, don't honor their parents. He said, well, I don't have to because the way they live. No, yes, you do have to honor them. I don't know how many times I've had kids come in. So while my parents don't go to church, they don't live right. They talk. I said, still honor them. Honor your parents. That's because why the Bible says so. God says so. Honor your parents, whether they live for God or not. Honor them. And it says that it may be well-pleasing with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Then it says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And you can provoke your children to wrath. For I've seen guys, I'm telling you, man, I've seen guys do this thing, and I've seen them provoke their kids to wrath by the, I got a friend, and Brother Ken knows who I'm talking about, Brother Joe knows who I'm talking about. He's in North Carolina. And this guy, he was always, ever since I've known him, always putting his finger in the kid's face and telling them, you better, blah, 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 blah. And he was always doing that. And he was right, but his motive, his method was wrong. He was always putting his finger in his kid's face. Now his children or grandchildren don't even want to be around him. They don't even want nothing to do with it. They don't want nothing to do with the Lord. And it's provoke not your children to wrath. And it says, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient unto them that are your masters according to flesh. So then it tells about all this. Then it says in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And I'm telling you, folks, the wiles of the devil is coming on strong. It's coming on strong. And Christians, if you don't read your Bible, you don't fortify that and teach your children, they're pray and read the Bible. I'm not talking about forceful. I'm talking about saying, hey, let's sit down and read the Bible. This is the thing we do. And you can do it where the point where the kids would enjoy it and be around it. And the flesh is weak, but the spirit's willing. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand an evil day. Having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with the truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness. That's why the truth is so, getting so, fewer churches preaching the truth, fewer preachers standing for the truth, and the truth is getting stomped upon. People don't even want to hear it. And it says, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of spirit, which is the word of God. And I'd say this, you kids that are raised in a Christian home, every day, if you think about it, say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for being so good to me. God, you've been good to me. What happens is kids become unthankful. And they think, how come they won't let me do nothing? How come they won't let me go out? How come they won't let me wear what I want to wear? How come they get like that? And we're just trying to protect them from making a mess out of their lives. That's all. So we're wrestling against flesh and blood, man. We got principalities and all this stuff. And the Bible tells us in the book of Job. Now go to the book of Job. Go over the book of Job. Job chapter 1. talking about them angels and all that stuff and the principalities of air and all that stuff that we're fighting against. We're in a real battle. This is a real battle. This is no joke. And people, I see it as a pastor dealing with people's lives and dealing with people that call me up. I realize, man, this is a battle, and I want to stay as close as I can to God so I can help people. That's our job, Christian. Our job is to stay in fellowship with God and have our truth, knowing what the truth is, and holding on to the truth. And it says, don't sell it. Don't sell out, like that guy was talking about selling out. He was a Bible believer and wanted to go just get a position. You don't just do that just to get a position and try to sell out your what you believe and what this book stands for. And so in Job chapter 1, it says, and the Lord said unto Satan. When you read the book of Job, you get an insight of what's going on in heaven a little bit. Man, you read your thing and you see how the devil operates. I mean, you go back to Genesis, you see how the devil came in the garden. He'll show up and he operates. He's got a method. He's got a method. God's given us a method to fight against it. And then we got to follow that method. If you don't follow the method, then what happens is you become devoured. You get become devoured. You become meat for the devil. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence cometh thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. Now, if you can keep in your mind, a young person, older person, if you can keep in your mind, the devil's always lurking, always looking, always trying to find a way in to destroy your life. You say, well, he doesn't bother me. Then I would check up and see if there's something, maybe he's already got you. If he doesn't bother you, and if he's not trying to trip you up, if you're living for God, guarantee, if you're trying to do what's right, he's trying to get you. He's trying to trip you up. And it becomes a battle. And it's a fight. Now, I'm not saying always. I mean, we're not walking around all the time, you know, thinking, oh, he's, you know, like that. But I mean, it's good to have that attitude. Amen. When the Bible says pray without ceasing, it's talking about, man, you better be praying. Amen. You better have on the helmet of salvation. You better have the sword of the Spirit. You better have, man, the breastplate of righteousness. You better have, man, all the equipment that you need to fight. And you better not leave the house without it. Amen. You better not leave the house without it. And you better not think, well, I'm good today, God. You just stay right here. I got everything under control. I don't need to read my Bible. I don't need to pray. I don't need you'll be devoured. The Bible says this. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there's none like him in the earth? You said, well, I ain't got to worry about that because I ain't doing right and I ain't living for God. I don't care. Yeah? Well, there's something waiting for you then. There's something right down the road waiting for you. And he said, have you considered my servant Job? I mean, you would think, very often has God ever got an opportunity to throw in the devil's face, I got somebody that's trying to do right. I've got a man that won't yield. I've got a woman that won't yield. And I know they won't. I've read this thing, I said, God, they sing that song, I want to be that man. I'm willing. I want to be that man. They won't yield. They won't yield to the wiles of the devil. Wouldn't you like to be that person? So, man, it's going to cost you something. Well, it's going to cost you something if you go away from it. Matter of fact, it is going to cost you more than you want to pay. They always say sin will take you further than you want to go, cost you more than you want to pay, keep you longer than you want to stay. That's what sin does. So if you're going to, I say this, if you're going to suffer in this life, you're better off suffering for what's right. This makes sense. It just makes sense. You know how many Christians, I could tell you story after story of people I've seen that go down the tube. Once on fire, once trying to do right, and just threw it in the towel. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and eschew evil? And Satan answered the Lord. Now check this out. You need to underline this. He said, doeth Job fear God for naught? Thou hast made a what? Hedge. See that thing? Underline hedge. Mark it around. He says, thou hast put a hedge about him. You know what God's got around his children? He's got a hedge. The devil can't do nothing to you unless he gets permission. He can't do nothing to you unless you go over the hedge. If you go out of the hedge, God's got a protection for you. He's got you in a place of protection. He said, stay right here. What happens is Christians are like this. Well, I think the grass is greener on the other side. Yeah. I'm getting out of here. I'm going to go out there. And we see it all the time. Sure. They go outside the hedge. And we see them somewhere in Walmart on the street corner, homeless out on the street. And you say, what happened? Got out of the hedge. Amen. Got away from God. It happens every time. And you're no exception. I'm no exception. Amen. You're no exception. And it says, has thou put a hedge about him and about his house? Check this out. And about all that he hath on every side. So God not only protects you, he protects your house and everything you have. You talking about a security system, brother. I mean, you ain't got to go to your phone and look and say, who's at my house? I mean, God's there. He put a hedge about it. When we go away, we pray, God, keep everything safe. When I go to bed at night, God, don't let the houses burn down. Don't let nothing burn down. God, protect all our kids, grandkids, and all that. God, put a hedge about them. Amen. Say, well, you want to stay behind the hedge? Yeah, I like it behind the hedge. I like it back there. You know why? Because he's there. Amen? He's there. It says, thou hast made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side. And thou hast blessed the work of his hands, even his hands, whatever he touches, whatever he does. He says, and his substance is increased in the land. Everything he touches, everything he does, God blesses it. Imagine something. God been blessing you. And the Lord said unto Satan, it says verse 11, but put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath. He will curse thee to thy face. So this is where the problem comes. When we got all this stuff God's blessed us with and everything, but if he touches us, how are we going to react? Or he allows the devil, how are we going to react? I hope, I pray that I would react and say, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I hope and pray I would. And I hope and pray my children would and my grandchildren would and our church would. And I don't want the Lord to do that. I don't want Satan, all that. I don't want none of that. I don't want the trouble. I really don't. I'm not fooled to say, bring it on. No, I'm stupid. No way. I ain't doing that. I ain't that much of a fool to say that. I don't want to say, okay, God, try me out. Do it. Because the Bible says, take your Bible, look and hold your place there. Go back to 2 Peter. Go to 2 Peter. First Peter. Go to 1 Peter. Check this out. First Peter chapter 1, I believe it is. Yeah, First Peter chapter 1, verse 7. Now, 2018, some of y'all have already faced some trials. And like I said this morning, sometimes our trials is our own doing. Some of the things that we've sown and all that. And that's where it's important to make sure you don't sow bad things. Sow good things. Because of why? You'll reap good things. If you'll sow good things, you'll reap good things. You sow bad things, you'll reap bad things. But look what the Bible says this. It says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, it says the trial of your faith. Everybody's going to get tried. There's no way around it. If you're trying to live for God, you're trying to do what's right, you're going to be tried. No way around it. It's going to happen. You can run from it. You say, well, if I knew that was going to happen, I'd run, I'd go something. No, man, you better off saying, God, give me the strength to stand. Give me the strength to go through the trial. And if you're with me, I'm all right. I'm all right. So whatever trial you're going through, the Bible says the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perishes. The way God's going to allow us to have something in heaven is the things you go through down here. The way God's going to allow you to be to have a prophet in a sense, I don't like to use that word, but a crown in heaven. There's five crowns. A way God's going to allow you to have it, you got to go through some trials. How you handle things, how you deal with people, how you deal with the brethren, how you handle pressure in your life, how you handle troubles that come in your life. All those things and how you handle it, rather than, they always say, oh, blood's thicker than water. They're going to turn their back on you. They're going, you know, the family. There's churches all over Kentucky, Tennessee, all over the country that all this family get, and one person get mad, everybody in the whole family, cousins, everybody leave. Everybody leave. And it could be over something that the cousin did that was stupid. And everybody leave. They say, blood thicker than water. Instead of saying, hey, what's right is right and what's wrong is wrong. Amen. And they stand for what's right. And most people will turn tail and run and go and just look for excuse to get out. So it says that the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that is perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and the glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The Lord's going to allow you to be tried. He's going to allow you to be, and we're wrestling against flesh and blood, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. We're wrestling against that stuff. And the Bible gives you insight on what we're in a battle with. And we're in a battle. These angels in 2 Peter, go back to 2 Peter. These angels came down and messed with women. And you say, is that going on now? Is that happening now? I believe it is. I believe something's going on. Matter of fact, I don't believe these angels that are in chains doing it. But I believe there's something going on in the atmosphere. And I've told you before, I believe that's where the UFOs, the children, these are children of those things that whatever came down. And look down at verse 5. And spare not the old world, but save Noah the eighth person. I don't want to go too deep in that thing. But I believe whatever that is, that's fly, people are seeing more and more UFOs and more this and more that. And you said, do you believe in UFOs? Yes, sir, I do. I don't believe they're from outer space. I believe they're fallen, the children of the angels, fallen angels. I believe, you say, where did they get the technology? Well, the devil's called the angel of light. And these things disappear like lightning, whatever they are. And I believe when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back in the battle of Armageddon, these things will show up. And the Antichrist might come out of one. He might be the one coming out. And but all that's another thing. But anyway, let's get on back to 2 Peter. I just wanted to cover, just to touch, give you a little taste of that, about the angels that's in chains. God's got a chain for them. It says, turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes and condemn them which are with overthrow, making them examples unto those that are after should live ungodly, deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Lot is a type of the 21st century Christian. If you want to know where's Lot fit, he's the filthy conversation of the wicked. The Bible calls him a righteous man in the Hebrews. It calls him a righteous man that he was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. That's why, guys, you got to stay away from any kind of dirty jokes. Stay away from any kind of dirty, filthy stuff that you're looking at or that comes up, pops up. And you can be innocent. Young men are getting by themselves. They have internet access. They look at pornography and all that stuff. That stuff will vex you. It'll ruin your life. It'll destroy you. And you can't think straight. You can't look at a woman with a pure thought. It just messes you up. And the devil knows that. And what he'll do is he'll keep feeding it to you. And you'll say, I don't want to do that no more. I just don't want to do it. And all that stuff is already in your brain. It's already there. And it'll mess you up, and you'll go hunting for it, And that's why you see so many men in jail for child molestation, messing with little kids, and messing with all, and they're messing with animals. That's why when the Lord said, he told Israel to go in, to wipe out all the nations and the animals, everything, the reason why they were messing with the animals, they were messing with the children, they were messing with everything. God said, there, just wipe them out. Because they were messing with it. So it says, deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man, look what it says. Here it is right there. That righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing. The devil knows the eye gate and the ears. Those two things is what messes us up. Jesse is blessed in the sense of being blind because he's never seen filthiness. He's heard it. He's heard it. But he can't imagine what it looks like. When you ask Jesse, Jesse, what does a human being look like? Yeah, a tree. He don't know. So Jesse's blessed in that sense. But it says, deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. That's where we're at right now. We're right there in Lot's day where we're being vexed. We're being vexed. So what you got to do is try to keep your kids and stay away from places where it's going to mess their minds up. You got to stay away from it. And yeah, the commercials, that's you can't even watch the Super Bowl halftime thing. It's so stinking filthy. You can't even watch it. And then they got the beer and all that stuff, and the women and all that stuff. Man, and that's, if you're a red-blooded man, if you're a red-blooded man, you see that kind of stuff. It works on your mind. It'll work on you. What a man will do, he'll start looking at that and going, looking at, whoa, look at that. Ooh. Look at his wife and go, ooh, well. Well, the women do the same thing. They look at this big old hunk out there, you know, he looks good and all. And she goes, oh, look at him. He's all flabby and. Yeah. Anyway, we'll get past that. Let's get on. I'm going to try to read all the rest of this thing. Let's get through it. And not, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. Verse 9, he says, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. And everybody we've ever seen that go that way, we've seen the punishment come. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise governments, presumptuous are they, self-will. That's where you got trouble, self-will. When you get self-willed, you say, God, ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. I've seen people do that. Ain't nobody going to tell me. Ain't nobody going to tell me how to live. And what they try to do is accuse the preacher of trying to run their life. I'm not trying to run your life. I'm just trying to preach the truth, man. And I just tell what the Bible says about this, and it's up to you to run your life and ask God to run it through him. But self-will, when a person's self-will, and some people are just unreasonable. You can't even deal with them. You can't even deal with some people about the truth. I mean, they're just so self-willed. Ain't nobody going to tell them what to do. Ain't nobody going to tell them how to act. And they get this. And what you know what's happening in our country, a lot of times, churches, pastors became, I know a couple guys that became dictators in their church. You all know me. I'm not a dictator. I don't try to go around your house, tell you what you ought to be doing, all that. I don't do that. I'm not a dictator. Before I was saved, I lived out in the world. I had a gang, all that stuff, and I told everybody what to do. I told all the, and I made it happen. Amen. I'm not that way. I don't want to be that way. I know the old me, the way it was. I don't like that. I don't think a pastor ought to be like that. But he's supposed to be an example to the flock and leading the flock in the right way. I've been pastor 31 years. I've tried to do my best. And now, I can't even say that honestly because my best, I could have done better. I could have done better. And God forgive me for not doing better. That's honest. And so what we ought to try and strive for to do better, 2018, live holier, godlier. Not so we can look down our nose at people. Not so we can say, oh, man, we don't want that. We don't want, you know, and you're not going to hang around certain people because they might smell different than you. I heard somebody went up to the that meeting up there the other night, and somebody went in the bathroom, and then Stacy heard somebody say, "Thank God I found the air freshener," and Stacy was laughing her head off. And anyway, The Lord knoweth how to deliver the ungodly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, and despise governments, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not a railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, we've covered all this, made to be taken, destroyed, speaketh evil of things that they understand not, they shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, there it is, that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. You girls, there's guys, we've had guys come in here as trying to beguile girls, and they have beguiled girls, and it's taken them right out of church and destroyed their lives. That's why we get mad as men. We get mad at seeing that stuff. We get mad at seeing young girls be destroyed by some beguiling guy that all he's trying to do is get in her clothes and get you mad. Beguiling unstable souls, a heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. We talked about that last Wednesday night or whatever. That's right, we hit that Wednesday night. Which have forsaken the right way and are going astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loveth the wages of unrighteousness. This guy, Balaam, if you read back in the Exodus and Leviticus, Numbers. Balaam is the guy who taught the children of Israel, or taught the Moabites to intermingle with the nation of Israel. He said, I can't curse them, but I'll tell you how you can do it for some money. And that's why the Bible says, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. And unbelievers, you get yoked up with somebody that's not saved, that's trying to do right, then they'll mess your life up. It says, but have rebuked who loveth the wages of unrighteousness, but have rebuked for his iniquity, the dumbass speaking with men's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. And when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who have lived in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome of the same as he brought into bondage. And after they have escaped the pollution, and after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, and the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. That's why the Lord said to a guy after he healed him, he said, go sin no more, lest something worse happen to you. Amen. You ever seen Christians go further back than they ever were before? Yes, that's what it's talking about. The latter end is worse to them than from the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than that after they have known it, turn from the holy commandments delivered unto them. It has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her waddling in the mire. And we'll stop right there. It's self-explanatory there. We could comment on it, but that's self-explanatory. The sow is waddling in the mire.